And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about Jesuits and vaccines. We sent out a newsletter yesterday, and we got several messages from people because we were announcing in the newsletter an update on the progress of our current project, which is Jesuits in America. And we got several messages from people. They apparently clicked on the link and then had some kind of issue with our Adullam Films website where it was coming up not available, that kind of thing. We're really not sure what that was. If somebody tried to sabotage our site or what was going on, or maybe the site was down because the people who host the site, the company that hosts the site, was doing something. But the site is up and working. The site is up and working, so there's no issue there. At least not now, and there hasn't been all day. But it may have been something last night. But anyway, in our last newsletter, we gave an update on our upcoming DVD, American Jesuits, A History of Jesuitism in the United States. And we are currently going through editing, production, scripting, all of it. And there's some powerful information. We're going to be talking about the Jesuits and the vaccine industry as part of this, because I don't think many people are aware of just how involved the Jesuit order is in global vaccination, how they have been very involved in it. Of course, they typically try to have their hands in virtually everything. And you have to understand the philosophy of the order. They believe in seeking out and becoming a part of all movements, great and small, throughout society, so that everywhere they have an influence. So they have people in all churches, in all religions, in all denominations, in all countries that they could contact at any given moment who would be there, typically quite often operating secretly. They operate both secretly and openly by their own admission. And this is affirmed by many historians for hundreds of years. And so that at any given moment, they can influence a situation most anywhere in the world. That's the purpose. And once you understand that that is their approach to their counter-reformation and trying to take control of the entire world, which is what they are trying to do, once you realize that, then it's not such a huge surprise that you find Jesuits operating in all of these different movements. But that's just the philosophy of the order. So if you go to IgnatianSolidarity.net, you can read about the Global Jesuit Network COVID Vaccine Advocacy, etc. Okay? Global Jesuit Network COVID Vaccine Advocacy. And this is from an article back in May of 2021. And this is from a Jesuit website. And if you go read articles, just type in Jesuits and vaccines, and they now use the term vaccine justice, just like social justice. Vaccine justice is to make sure everybody gets vaccinated, of course. Vaccine justice. Jesuits call for justice in the global allocation of COVID-19 vaccines. Jesuits call for justice in the global allocation of COVID-19 vaccines. Now, of course, no warnings that I'm seeing from their websites. No warnings, just more of your Marxist-style social justice-type arguments. Quote, 87% of administered vaccines have so far gone to high-income or upper-middle-income countries, while low-income countries have received only 0.2%, et cetera. And then it goes on. Then it says, quote, the Jesuits Social Justice and Ecology Secretariat in Rome has added its voice to the growing calls advocating for equity and justice in the production and distribution of vaccines. Well, of course. Now you have the Pope has apparently reported that he was vaccinated. Of course, I haven't seen any videotape of that yet. If you find videotape of the Pope getting vaccinated, by all means, that should be examined, whether or not they're using some kind of a fake needle. Go online. If you haven't seen it, by the way, online, type in on YouTube, fake vaccination needle or words to that effect. And yes, there are needles that they have that if you see them with a syringe, it looks, and you press it against the skin, it looks like somebody's injecting a needle into your arm or your hand or wherever, and in fact, it's a retractable needle. So there's all sorts of things that they could be doing. We know that there has been a certain amount of fakery with some people getting vaccinated, some government officials claiming that they're being vaccinated when in fact, it's clear that they're not. They're just putting on a show because they want other people to take a vaccine. And with all the reports of injury and illness and in some cases death, these things admitted by the Centers for Disease Control. With all these reports, you can see why some people are shying away from it. Well, in Rome, apparently the Vatican has made it mandatory for the employees there at St. Peter's Basilica, and they've had a number of the Swiss guards who have been there for centuries, the honor guard of the papacy, the Swiss guards, and apparently a number of them quit because they were required to be vaccinated. We're seeing this now with the airlines. Many of the airline pilots are refusing to be vaccinated. Thousands of flights are being canceled. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine a short time ago who's a pastor, and I mentioned to him, I hadn't talked to him in a while, but I mentioned to him, he knows about a lot of the research I do where Rome is concerned, the Reformation and the Jesuits and the Counter-Reformation, all of that. And I mentioned to him, I said, hey, brother, you know, Dr. Fauci is a Jesuit. And he was surprised. He didn't realize Fauci was a Jesuit. But yes, Dr. Fauci is a Jesuit. He was educated by them. In fact, when he gives his speech back in 2017, where he says there will be a surprise pandemic, he is at Georgetown University. Georgetown University, which is the headquarters for the Jesuits here in the United States of America. In fact, let's listen to his audio. Here he is.
Given, as you heard from the introduction, that I have been around for a while and have had the opportunity and the privilege and the pleasure of serving in 5 administrations, I thought I would bring that perspective to the topic today, is the issue of pandemic preparedness. And if there's one message that I want to leave with you today based on my experience, and you'll see that in a moment, is that there is no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, both chronic infectious diseases in the sense of already ongoing disease, and we have certainly a large burden of that, but also there will be a surprise outbreak. And I hope by the end of my relatively short presentation, you will understand why the history of the last 32 years that I've been the director of NIAID will tell the next administration that there's no doubt in anyone's mind that they will be faced with the challenges that their predecessors were faced with.
Meaning that there will be a surprise pandemic that will break out at some point. And that's what he means, obviously, and that's what he says. But what's interesting is that when he's giving the speech in 2017, Donald Trump had just been elected president of the United States. And what's really interesting is that Dr. Fauci's response to this pandemic is completely unlike his response to any other pandemic that had happened in the 30 years prior. Nowhere before was there a call for a complete shutdown of society. Nowhere were people told they need to quarantine at home, everybody stay at home, wear masks, all this other kind of stuff. None of that had ever happened in the 30 years prior. But somehow, that's exactly what needed to happen once COVID-19 coronavirus shows up on the scene. And of course, we know this was all according to the Rockefeller script that had been published in 2010. Now, I've had people ask why these groups, because they've done this for years, and they do it over and over and over again, where they tell you, you know, there's the principle of the secret societies. We talk about this in our Secret Mystery series, but the principle of that which is hidden in plain sight, where they put their symbols of their secret groups and so on out in on public display. It's kind of a demonstration of power. And then they develop two interpretations, the exoteric and the esoteric. They admit this in their writings. So that you have the outer explanation that's given to the public, and then you have the inner, the esoteric or the occult. That's what the word occult means. It means that which is hidden. The occult explanation that they reserve to themselves. But they like projecting their power, because I think that's what this is about. And one of the ways that they project their power is to tell you what they're going to do before they actually do it. They communicate that through film, through television, through speeches that they make, etc. They project it all, and then they make it happen. And when I've been asked, why do they do that? Why is that their methodology? My theory is that it's because of Isaiah chapter 14, because many of these groups and individuals are Luciferians. They are devil worshipers. And what they're doing is they're trying to imitate God, because that's what Lucifer says. Lucifer says, I will be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, he says. He's going to try and usurp God's authority. And so one of the characteristics of God is in Isaiah chapter 46, where God says, I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. God says, I have declared it, and I will bring it to pass. So that's one of the characteristics of God. That God says there's nobody else like him who has the ability to declare something and then bring it to pass later on. Now, of course, in terms of God's prophecies, these prophecies are often spread out by thousands of years. Some prophecies are declared, like we find in the Old Testament. You find, for example, when God prophesies through Elijah what's going to happen to the house of Ahab and Queen Jezebel and so on, that they're going to be judged and condemned and so on. Then a short time later, those prophecies are fulfilled. So they're not spread out by centuries or thousands of years. They happen in a shorter period. But then other prophecies concerning the Messiah, concerning, for example, the nation of Israel. Yes, we do believe that the restoration of Israel in 1948 was a prophetic event. But you had people like John Gill, hundreds of years ago, in his commentaries on Amos chapter 9, he's writing about this. The Puritans foresaw it. Why? Because it's part of the scripture. So I believe these secret groups, they like the idea of playing God and usurping God's authority. And part of that is telling everybody what they're going to do before they do it, and then they bring it to pass. And it's almost like they're saying, we're so powerful, there's nothing you can do about it. We're going to make it happen no matter what. And I think it, you know, this is about power and control, as many people are figuring out. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we are going to talk more about the Jesuit oath. How could the Jesuit oath somehow or other have something to do with what is happening right now with COVID-19 and the vaccines? We'll talk about that when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents a stunning new documentary, The True Christian History of America, exploring the Bible-based Christian origins of the early American view of freedom, tracing the principles of liberty back to England and the Great Reformation. For many years, our schools have taught that the founding of our republic was from the deists or the Enlightenment in France. But is that truly the case? Did the Enlightenment first declare no taxation without representation or trial by jury? Were they the champions of freedom of speech or of the press or the right to bear arms? And why did Samuel Adams declare that the reign of political Protestantism would commence just before signing the Declaration of Independence? Filmed on location in both the United States and Europe, The True Christian History of America is now available at adullamfilms.com. That's adullamfilms.com. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, Part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the Scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today, we're talking about the Jesuits and the vaccine agenda, the vaccine industry, global vaccinations, which is being promoted by the Vatican and by the Jesuit order. There's no question about that. And yes, they are involved in the push to, just as Bill Gates said, Bill Gates, who with his wife, Melinda Gates, yes, they are Jesuits. They donate millions of dollars a year to the Jesuit order. Bill Gates has openly said he wants to see 7 billion people vaccinated. And the Jesuits seem to be right in line with that kind of thinking. Interesting. Very, very interesting. All right. We're going to take up that discussion further here in just a minute. But I stumbled upon some information that's kind of related when working on the script for the new documentary, Jesuits in America. And part of what we're going to talk about is the role of the order with the assassination of Abraham Lincoln and some of the things that were said by the Catholic priest Charles Chiniquy about the order. But one of the things that Chiniquy talked about was the faith of Abraham Lincoln. He firmly believed and communicates that Abraham Lincoln was a very convicted Christian man who believed the gospel of Jesus Christ and believed that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, based upon quotes that he takes from a man named Newton Bateman, who knew Abraham Lincoln personally. Back in the 19th century, he had been elected superintendent of schools in Morgan County, Illinois, and he served as the Illinois superintendent of public instruction. Okay, he later became president of Knox College. And if you go to Wikipedia, it says Bateman was an associate of Abraham Lincoln and is the source of a controversial account of his religious views. Well, if you read the book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, Charles Chiniquy actually quotes Mr. Bateman, as he says. And he talks about how Bateman claimed that Lincoln, in his presence, confessed his Christian faith in a very clear manner. Now, I think this is an important issue because there's all kinds of things that people say about Abraham Lincoln. If you study Lincoln's quotes on Christianity and the Bible, people try to turn Lincoln into some kind of agnostic or a deist or something like that. And what he fully and truly believed, the Lord only knows. But there is evidence, significant and strong evidence, that Lincoln was a real Christian. He was a real Bible-believing Christian. He quoted the Bible extensively, continually. Was raised in a Christian household. Doesn't mean that he was perfect, but none of us are. But let me read you this quote. I stumbled upon this here recently. So Chiniquy says he is taking this quote from the memoirs of Mr. Bateman, superintendent of public instruction for the state of Illinois. And then he says, quote, he's quoting now Bateman. He says that Lincoln was walking up and down the reception room, and he stopped and said with a trembling voice, his cheeks wet with tears, he said, Lincoln said, now he's quoting Lincoln, he said, quote, I know there is a God and that he hates injustice and slavery. I see the storm coming, and I know that his hand is in it. If he has a place and work for me, and I think he has, I believe I am ready. I am nothing, but truth is everything. I know I am right because I know that liberty is right, for Christ teaches it, and Christ is God. I have told them that a house divided against itself cannot stand, and that Christ and reason say the same thing, and they will find it so. Then he goes on to say, quote, Douglas does not care whether slavery is voted up or down, but God cares and humanity cares and I care. And with God's help, I will not fail. I may not see the end, but it will come. And I shall be vindicated, and those men will see that they have not read their Bible right. And then it goes on from there. There's more to it than that. But that is a partial quote that you find in the book 50 Years in the Church of Rome, where Charles Chiniquy is quoting Newton Bateman, who knew Lincoln personally. But I thought it was very powerful when he quotes Lincoln saying, I know I am right because I know that liberty is right, for Christ teaches it and Christ is God. That I thought was just very powerful when I came across that quote. So I wanted to share that. I had not seen that quote in this book before. I've reviewed the book in the past. I have to admit, I haven't read every single page of it. It's a very long read, but there's a lot of powerful information, and there are unique conversations that are recorded by Charles Chiniquy. One, conversations that he had, but he's also recording the claims of other men like Bateman who knew Lincoln personally and interacted with him. So I find that to be fascinating. But these are some of the things that we'll be discussing in our next film. Okay. Now, let's talk about the Jesuits, who are no small subject of discussion in Chiniquy's book. In fact, here's another quote. Just so people understand why the issue of Rome and the Counter-Reformation is so important to us today, it is very, very probable that what really happened in 2020 is that the Vatican and her Jesuits and her agents in Washington, D.C. and in the media completely sabotaged the 2020 election. I simply do not believe it is a coincidence that all the key players are Jesuits one way or the other. Even now, General Milley, go look up General Milley, who's being called a traitor, that he betrayed Trump and called China and told China, you know, nothing will happen or else I'll call you and let you know. And a lot of people think Milley should either be fired or brought up on charges of treason. But of course, if you look up Milley, yes, Milley is a Roman Catholic. Not surprisingly. All right, so here's another quote from Abraham Lincoln, quoted by Newton Bateman. So Lincoln at one point is said to have said, quote, "It is with the Southern leaders of this civil war as with the big and small wheels of our railroad cars. The real motive power is not seen. It is noiseless and well concealed in the dark. The common people see and hear the big, noisy wheels of the Southern Confederacy's cars. They call them Jeff Davis, Lee, Toombs, Beauregard, Semmes, etc. And they honestly think that they are the motive power, the first cause of our troubles. But it is a mistake. The true motive power is secreted behind the thick walls of the Vatican, the colleges and schools of the Jesuits, the convents of the nuns, and the confessional boxes of Rome. It is to popery that we owe this terrible civil war." End quote. All right, so that again was a quote from Newton Bateman citing Abraham Lincoln. In other words, that those are Lincoln's words according to Newton Bateman and recorded by Charles Chiniquy in his book. Remember, you've also got the book by, and of course, Chiniquy openly refers to John Wilkes Booth as, quote, the Jesuit assassin. I mean, Chiniquy writes, admittedly, in very glowing terms of Abraham Lincoln. He held Lincoln in the highest estimation, and he calls Lincoln the new Moses at one point. And he says, at one point, quote, "The heart and soul of the new Moses were still repeating the sublime words, 'The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether,' when the Jesuit assassin Booth murdered him." And then goes on from there. So he very directly calls John Wilkes Booth the Jesuit assassin. Now, the reality is, this is what should be taught in our schools. Whether people agree with it or not, the account of Chiniquy, who knew Abraham Lincoln personally, knew him back when he was a lawyer, knew him while he was president, met with him at the White House repeatedly, his thoughts, which are also in accordance with the thoughts of General Thomas Maley Harris, who was one of the Union generals who sat on the court that prosecuted the Lincoln conspirators and had them condemned and hanged for being part of the plot to assassinate Abraham Lincoln. General Harris wrote a book on the responsibility of Rome in the assassination of President Lincoln. These things are what should be taught as real history. Now, again, people can debate and they can say, well, no, I don't agree, etc. I think the evidence points another way. But having people who knew Lincoln, people who were so high-ranking like General Harris, making those claims, and how many Americans are even aware of this? All right, so now the question. With what is going on with vaccines, because Chiniquy makes it clear that Rome is the enemy of the United States of America, and that Rome's ambition is the destruction and the enslavement and or destruction of our country. That is what Chiniquy says in no uncertain terms in his book. That the Vatican and the papacy, they are the implacable enemies of America and of American freedom in particular. Their ambition is to destroy our freedom. If you go online and you read the America Magazine article called "Repeal the Second Amendment," you'll see. They don't just want to have some more gun regulation. No, they want to completely abolish the right to bear arms. And they say so. They want to remove that as a right entirely so that nobody would have a rifle, a handgun, anything. They openly say the Catholic bishops want to take all handguns even, not just AR-15s, but handguns from the American people to completely disarm the country. Except for, you know, military police and some, you know, a few people hunting and Target Sports and that kind of thing. They do have that little caveat there. Anyway, now here's from an article, just getting back to the vaccine issue, from 2014, where it says, quote, Jesuits run the Red Cross. And with that, they're showing pictures of the Crusaders with the red crosses on their breastplates, their tunics that cover their breastplates, right? And it says, Jesuits run the Red Cross. Ghanans, that is the people from Ghana, say Red Cross vaccines cause of Ebola. That the Ebola virus was actually caused by the vaccines that were given to apparently try and stop Ebola. The same thing has been said about Bill Gates' vaccines, his polio vaccine, which was given to hundreds of thousands of children in India and is said to have been the cause of crippling the children, that they were crippled because they got the vaccine. All right, so this article here, published, says, quote, one can begin to conceive how the Red Cross could be using vaccines to cause Ebola intentionally when one learns that the Jesuits run the Red Cross and where the Red Cross comes from. Then they go up and they have this whole argument about the Jesuits and the history of the Red Cross, which has a long history going back to the Crusades, going back to Rosicrucianism, which is very much a Jesuit philosophy, the idea of blending Christianity, so-called, with Gnosticism and old world paganism. This is what we talk about in our Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning series. If you want lots and lots of information on that, watch that series. But that is the philosophy of the Jesuit order, and that is what they had written into Vatican Council II, which is where they're trying to blend all the religions of the world into one. All right, now let's talk about the Jesuit oath. What does the Jesuit oath say? We go over part of the oath in our film, A Lamp in the Dark, The Untold History of the Bible, when we have our section there called Enter the Jesuits. But here's what they say in the oath, in that oath. It says, quote, I furthermore promise and declare that I will, when opportunity present, make and wage relentless war, secretly or openly, against all heretics, Protestants, and liberals, as I am directed to do, to extirpate, which means to tear them up by the roots, to extirpate and exterminate them from the face of the whole earth, and that I will spare neither age, sex, or condition, and that I will hang, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics, rip up the stomachs and wombs of their women, and crush their infants' heads against the walls, in order to annihilate forever their execrable race. That when the same cannot be done openly, I will secretly use the poisoned cup. The poisoned cup. The strangulating cord, the steel of the poignard, or the leaden bullet. And then it goes on from there. But saying, I will secretly use the poisoned cup. If you study the history of the order, past and present, the use of poison is one of the favorite methods of the Jesuit order to destroy their enemies and to carry out assassinations. For example, they are said to have poisoned Pope Clement when he abolished them back in 1773. They are also said to have poisoned Pope John Paul I in the 20th century, according to Malachi Martin, who claims he saw, you know, the poison being given to Pope John Paul I. So the question is, does the poison, as it is being called by many people, and many of these people, doctors and nurses, etc., is the poison present in the vaccines, is this, in fact, the poison cup of the Jesuit order at work at a global level to destroy all heretical opposition to their dreams of a new world order? Is that what's really happening here with the whole vaccine agenda? And we don't have time on this program, obviously, to go into all of the areas where the Jesuits and the Vatican are involved with vaccines, But let it suffice for now to say, if you start looking into this, you will see they are involved in this thing globally. Globally. And the people behind this, whether you think it's the Jesuits or someone else, they've been repeatedly accused of willfully and deliberately trying to kill people. That yes, they're trying to kill people. Whoever's behind it, if it's the Jesuits or if it's somebody else, whoever's behind it, they are being accused repeatedly by doctors, by people who have examined this thing backwards and forwards. They are being repeatedly accused of deliberately trying to destroy the lives of millions of people. As we are warned in the scriptures, brethren, in the last days, perilous times would come. That's what we're warned about. And I think we can say with surety, perilous times are here. We need to be in prayer. We need to seek the Lord. We need to be walking in holiness and the fear of God and seeking what the Lord would have us to do in such a time as this. All right, brethren. We are out of time. That's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.